it's pretty easy to like present yourself to God as a holy living sacrifice. You know, sometimes it seems kind of weird to say that's a sacrifice. That's like saying eating strawberry cheesecake is a sacrifice. You know, it's like, oh, I guess I'll eat the cheesecake then. So we present ourselves to God, and that's why in that Romans verse it says that's our reasonable, like it only makes sense. That's our reasonable service. It only makes sense to do that, right? You guys are smart people, I could tell. Why would anybody not present themselves to this amazing God who is full of mercy and grace and love and just wants to blow us away with how good he is? So, count yourself blessed if you're a Christian today. If you're not, then you can be. So, count yourself blessed after you become a Christian tonight and join the club. So, join the family of God. Pretty simple. Easy breezy, right? So, we actually do have some stuff to talk about in God's Word. So, let's pray and ask God's blessing and his favor on the Word tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Because you first loved us. We are just so blessed. We are so hopeful because we know that in you we have goodness given to us. And in you, Lord, we have an inheritance that's just so good. And we have an assurance in you because Jesus rose from the dead. And so, Lord, let our lives be different. Let our lives reflect what you've done for us. Let our lives be lived with such gratitude, such joy and peace. Lord, may you be magnified in us and through us. May you use us in our generation for such a time as this to be lights in the world, to be salt of the earth, and to win many to you, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 84, let's turn there. So you remember last week was pretty heavy duty. We talked about the invasion of Israel, which is going to come. So we looked at that. And now, in Psalm 84, we actually come across one of my favorite psalms in the whole Bible. Does anybody have a favorite psalm? Would anybody like to share what it is if they do? 91. That's one of my other favorite ones, Psalm 91. Psalm 91:11 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Psalm 51. Now, can you tell us why that is? Psalm 51 is pretty heavy, huh? That's I love that psalm too. That's one of my favorites also. Yes, that's David's repentance, right? Yeah. I think, Zach, you look like you were raising your hand.
Okay,
Psalm 23. Yes, Lord is my shepherd. One of my favorites also. Anybody else?
42.
Psalm 42. What's that about, Robert?
It's about when you're feeling down, your soul is down. Remember the Lord is still there.
Yes, that's one of your favorites. So we should all have like name tags, just Psalm name tag. Robert, Psalm 42. So Carol, Psalm 51. We have what else? Anybody else? Favorite Psalm? Which one? 139. Tell us what that's about. His thoughts for us are more numerous than the sand. Tells us how much he loves us. What he thinks about us, how he made us. So it's kind of his. So he pretty much thinks we're pretty important. Yeah? That's good to know, isn't it? Anybody else? Mike, you look like you're right about, yeah, you're just, do you need a little nudge?
I just can't wait to say Psalm 73.
Psalm 73. What's that about?
It's that one where everything is not fair and written in the
Everything's not fair. Rich people get everything. Why do the wicked prosper? Ooh. Mm.
And then for the last half of that song, everything is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love the way it turns, it's right, you know, it's like 17, verse 17 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Then I went to the sanctuary of the Lord. That's a game changer, right? Anybody else? Any other favorite psalms that anybody wants to share? 103, right there. What's that one about?
Benefits, mercy.
Getting your youth renewed. I like that one. I'm going to have to read that one tonight. Anybody? Sebastian, you're like right there, aren't you? You're like, okay, what do you got, buddy?
Psalms 1, the first one.
Psalms 1. Wow, you don't mess around, huh? That's a great one. And why do you like that, Sebastian?
It's kind of a gentle reminder which way is looking past in front of you. One's standing with God, another one's pretty bad.
Right. Two paths before. Yeah. That's good. That's every one that you've said is pretty much my favorite, too. Anybody else? 119. Yes. That's also one of my favorites. And what's that about, Mark Conrad?
Meditations on the excellencies of God's word.
I love that. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. It's one of my favorite verses. And then I've hid your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. Yeah, that's good. I tell that one to my kids a lot. Yes?
I don't remember the number, but it's Though I Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Psalm 23, yeah.
And it's because my first time in Haiti, when I was like 15, I remember I was so scared. We were walking out of this airport, and I'd never been to like a foreign country before. And there was like all of these like men like grabbing at me, and like Jacob was supposed to like hold on to me. Do you remember that? Jacob was supposed to like hold on to my backpack.
Oh.
And we were like in this like wild.
What happened
so
to Jacob?
Hmm. No, like, I was just on the front for some reason. Like, so Jacob couldn't protect me if someone, like, hurt me or something.
My little 14-year-old guy could protect you. And
I was just thinking of that, and that's, like, the only reason I could walk. I was so scared.
Nice. Anybody else? We have time for one more. Yes, Jacob.
60.
Psalm 60. What's that one about?
Prayer
in difficult times. That's important, isn't it? Okay, that was quick, so we have time for one more. I see a hand, like, right behind the screen. I have no idea who that is. Hi back there.
Psalm
56, what's that about? God delivering you from fear and what? The hope of heaven. Good stuff, huh? So do you guys like the Psalms? It's good stuff, isn't it? If you don't have a favorite one, that might be a good challenge and goal for you to get a favorite psalm. But then you'll have to read through them a whole bunch of times until you get one. So that's not a bad thing either. So we're in Psalm 84 tonight. We're going to start there. We're going to see how far we get. Psalm 84, one of my favorites. The backdrop for this is three times a year, the Jews would go up to Jerusalem and to the tabernacle and have a special time of prayer and worship. And this journey that they would make, you may notice in the Bible, it talks about going up to Jerusalem. It's because Jerusalem is at 2,500 feet above sea level. And so people that go to Jerusalem, they go up to Jerusalem. So this is a psalm of David in regards to that. So let's take a look. And we're going to call this one the goodness of God's presence. So think about David journeying, taking that journey up to Jerusalem, up to the temple, or the tabernacle to worship the Lord. So he says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. He says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. So here we have David's heart. I like the descriptions of passion, really. And notice his passion is not a religious exercise passion. It's hard to be passionate in the same way about doing works than it is about being in the presence of the Lord. And think about David. He's longing, he's fainting, he's crying out because he's going up to this place. And he understands, you remember David is a man after God's own heart. And it's important to understand and realize when we look through the Bible, it all starts in the heart. It all starts in the heart. So if we're doing stuff on the outside, but without a heart that's just completely in love with God, or doing it for God or motivated by God, then it's just a matter of time before we lose passion, we lose heart, we lose our energy and our strength. But see, this is good. This is good because we need to ask ourselves the question, well, why do we do what we do? Like, why are we here tonight? We can be here, but not be here. You know what I mean? The Bible talks about people who with their mouth, they praise God, but with their heart was far from him type of thing. I think it's better to look at Scripture and think about our heart and ask ourselves, why am I coming to church tonight? Why am I here? And when we come for Jesus, that's what changes everything. That's what makes it not a religion and not just an exercise of our flesh or a work. But when we come for Jesus, and you may say, well, Jesus is at my house too, so what's the big deal? There's something about corporate worship. There's something about the body of Christ. And part of that is when you have a group of believers coming together in unison, in one accord, coming together to give praise and worship and themselves to God, there's a certain dynamic in there where the Holy Spirit works through that. So that's a big thing. That's a big deal. Another thing is within the body of Christ, each Christian manifests God in a certain particular way. So coming together as a group then helps us get a bigger picture, a fuller understanding of who God is. It helps us draw closer to God in all these different aspects of God. So when we see each other and when we interact with each other, which I highly encourage you to do, what happens is we are individual parts of the whole body of Christ, then we're seeing different aspects of God. We're seeing Jesus and his grace manifest in all these different ways. Isn't it interesting? To me, it is, that everybody is so different. Like, everybody looks different. 6 billion people on the earth and everybody looks different. Yeah, I know they're twins and stuff like that. They still look different. They're not exactly the same. And that's just a reflection of the manifold, which that word means in, Peter said, the manifold grace of God, the multifaceted, multidimensional colors, the manifold grace of God. And so then that brings a whole nother dimension to the body of Christ. And so David, he's longing to go there. He's longing to be there. And for David, it was the presence of God that was in the sanctuary, that was in the temple, the Shabbat, that word meaning the glory of God. It was where the Holy of Holies was. And David longed for that, the presence of God. So it's important for us tonight to really think about the presence of God. We have that as believers. We have that as Christians. We don't have to go to a place, but it's in us, the glory of God. So the beauty of Christianity, the end game, the end all is the presence of God, Christ in us, the hope and the glory. And so when we connect with that, fellowship with that, walk in that, enjoy that, bask in that, well, that's the presence of God. Once you have that, you don't want religion. Once you have that, you're motivated. Paul said, I'm compelled by the love of God, or I'm constrained by the love of God. It's the motivation of God's presence, which was so wonderful to him that caused him to do what he did. He did it for Jesus. It was about Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves, is it about Jesus for me? Is it about Jesus for me? Am I here because of Jesus? Do I do what I do because of Jesus, and don't do what I don't do because of what? Jesus. Yes. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Got that? Okay, good. So now that it's all about Jesus, it's his presence. He says in verse 3, he says, even the sparrows have found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, for she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. So he's saying, man, how cool it is for the sparrow. He can live at the tabernacle. You think about the sparrow is the most worthless as far as useful and valuable creature in the bird kingdom. Jesus used them to say, look at them, I even take care of them. And he's saying, for them, and then he's saying the swallows have feet problems, so they're really restless. They can't stay in one place. So he's saying, man, how cool it is for these animals that are so worthless and these other animals that are so restless, but yet they have a place there in the presence of God. They have a place where they can live there and hang out. And he's going, man, that is so cool. God is so good. Even them, they want to hang out there. They want to be a part of that. And as he's observing that, notice how he says in verse 4, he says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Dwell in your house. So now it's a place where we live. And Paul said, in Christ we live and move and have our being. So now it's just a place where we live. It's a place, like I started off in the beginning, where we start from this place of God, of what he's done, of the opportunity of fellowship and koinonia that we have for him. And man, I just want to really encourage you guys, because in that place, it's just like everything just sort of fades away in the place of God's presence. And it's sad when we miss that it's about that. And we easily get distracted about that, because the devil knows how wonderful that place is. And so we get all caught up in all these extraneous things of life. And the devil's trying to rob us of the presence of God. And so sometimes it requires a focus, doesn't it? A focus on God. Let the world fade away, these things that come and try to disturb that fellowship. I want to encourage you to have a laser focus on Jesus. Have you ever, you know, when dogs have surgeries and they have those little things on their head so they don't lick themselves? Sometimes we need those things on our head. Because a lot of us are like my dog, Ben, where you walk him down the street and he wants to stop at every mailbox or fire hydrant or bush. And he needs to stay focused like, Ben, we're going somewhere. Like we're going around and he just wants to. And some of us need to just really, really discipline our mind to stay focused on Jesus and not just go after everything that comes our way. So look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. You might want to underline that and highlight that. So remember, David is actually going on a pilgrimage up to the tabernacle. But for us, we are called pilgrims, right? The Bible says we're pilgrims. And here we see that we are blessed. You know what blessed means? That word, it means happy. Happy. We're blessed when our heart, notice he says our heart is set. So there's like a compass, a direction. There's like a GPS. We're on a directional movement of our life inside of us, in our heart. We understand that we're pilgrims in this world, that we're passing through. That means that we understand that this is not our home. So what does that mean? What does that really mean? It means that in this world, we're not going to find the things that generally we will be looking for in this world. We're going to find them in Jesus. When our heart is set on Him, when our movement, our direction, our compass is to pass through the world, and as we're passing through the world, affect as many people as we can for the name of Christ. And when we understand that, we are happy people. We are blessed people. You know what happens when you're too invested in this world? Have you ever been too invested in the world? Sometimes you don't know you are until something happens to your thing in the world. And then you find out, wow, I was really into that thing. Might have even been an idol. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it starts off, it says, When King Uzziah died, what happened? I saw the Lord. King Uzziah represented prosperity for the kingdom of Israel. He was a good king. He brought a lot of prosperity, material wealth, and things like that. And he said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Maybe for some of us, it's going to take the death of our thing to finally see the Lord. I know it was like that for me. I had a lot of big plans. I had everything figured out, and all those things died, and then I saw the Lord. Sometimes it takes all those things to die to really see the Lord. And so it's important to have a right perspective about the world and our life in the world. That whole in but not of, that's hard, isn't it? That's a hard tension to have. One extreme is, do we isolate ourselves and go live somewhere where there's no people and commune with God? No, we don't do that. That would be nice. Some of you are like, yeah, that would be awesome. Or do we fully indulge in the things of the world so we could be more relevant and more understanding of everybody and reach more people? So that's a hard tension, right? So the tension is, we live here, but it's not here that we find what we're looking for. The tension is that the only way to do this world right as a Christian is to live for Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, again, Paul said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. If we will understand that whatever I'm doing, that's our purpose, that's why we're here. It doesn't matter what you're doing, it matters who you're doing it for. So whatever you do it for the Lord, That puts meaning into every single thing that we do. Every interaction, every decision, every choice, every place we go or don't go. If we're doing it for the Lord, now we're doing kingdom stuff. Now we're in the world and we're influencing the world for Christ's sake. Now we have the right perspective, understanding that it's in heaven that we will arrive. We will finally arrive. We will achieve. We will enter in. We will have everything we're looking for. But do you remember Paul in Philippians chapter 1? He said, man, it'd be so much better to go to heaven. He said this term, he said, it's better by far. But he said, while I'm here, it will mean fruitful labor for you. So you know what that means? The meaning of life is to labor for Jesus. And you don't have to be in full-time ministry. You don't have to do that. You have to do whatever you do for Jesus. Now you're in, but not of. Now you're seeing your life more as a thermostat than a thermometer. Now you're being more effective for God's kingdom than being responsive to the influence of this world. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. You know what those two words mean? Conform means an outside influence to put us in its mold. It says, don't do that. And I guarantee you, if you're a Christian, you'll never, ever be happy doing that. You can't be. It's impossible. So if you're a Christian, be transformed. That's an inward pressure versus an outward pressure. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an inward transformation. Basically, you're responding to inward pressure. And when you respond to inward pressure, being more like Christ. So let's move on. I'm not getting too far here. So happy is the man, verse 5, happy is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which that word literally means weeping. So it's like this is on their way up to Jerusalem. This is part of their journey. They'd have to go through the place of weeping. They make it a spring. So as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. That's interesting, isn't it? So on this journey, have you noticed in life there's some weeping involved, some weeping? Life's hard, isn't it? Life has its ups and downs. Life has weeping. It's places of difficulty. And remember, as we're pilgrims, we're going through two. Remember that. We're going through two. So these places of weeping are not the end places. That's not where we're going to, right? The weeping places are what we go through, not to, right? So we go through weeping, the places of weeping, to the place of worship. Do you find that interesting? You will find probably the people that worship the best, the hardest, the deepest, the most intimate, are the ones who've spent a lot of time in Baca, the place of weeping. This is the place where God becomes most real. This is the place where, as C.S. Lewis said, God whispers in our joy and he screams in our suffering or pain. This is the place, and if you're in this place, I encourage you to have Mickey Mouse ears. Big ears. Because, man, there's stuff you get in the place of Baca that you're going through, not to, it's just you're going through, that you can't get when you're not there. These are important times for the Christian, important times for the believer. These are times where the Bible says the fellowship with God's sufferings, the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, There's a connection that we have in the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, a connection we have with God that we can't get outside of the valley of Baca. But the valley of Baca is necessary to get to the tabernacle. And do you notice there's springs? You notice what he says about the springs? As they pass through the valley of Baca, that they make it a spring. Spring is refreshing, right? Think about the water, the springs, the place of refreshment, the place of encouragement, the place of renewal. Did you know that when you go through, not to, but through the place of weeping, that this is the place of refreshment? This is the place of renewal. This is the place, and not only for you, but for those around you too. Did you know that in order for you and in order for me to be usable and effective in other people's lives, there has to be Baca? Because our Baca turns into springs. Did you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that the same consolation that we have been given in the times of Baca is the same consolation that we will be able to give other people when they're in that place? So we need these places. So these places end up being a refreshing time. What do we do in these places? Well, first, like I said, Mickey Mouse ears. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, I'm wide open. What do you want me to know? What do you want to show me? What do you want to teach me? These are teachable moments. These are huge times in our life. So that's the first thing. The second thing, when we're there, be okay being there. Don't be in a hurry to get out. Don't run away from it. Definitely don't go back. Just follow the Lord. Follow His steps. Be okay with it, knowing that you're going through to. Okay? That's important. So these are through times to be in the place of worship. Very good scripture there. So in verse 7, he says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So do you see the necessity of these places? We go from strength to strength. So a lot of times we think the Baca is a place of weakness. We think it's a place where God's taking away from us or subtracting, or sometimes we think he's ruining our life. Did you see what he says there? We go from strength to strength. We're getting stronger. God is not in the subtraction business. God doesn't take away. And if he does it so he can add. Right? So God just doesn't just reduce us, but he enhances, he multiplies, he grows, he enhances. So remember that. So if you're feeling like you're in the place of Baca and you're feeling like my life's just ruined, I'm being damaged, I'm crumbling, everything's taken away, be like Job and say, you know, blessed be the Lord. He gives, which is awesome, right? But what does he also do? He takes away. He gives, but he takes away too. But the takeaway is only to what? Add. God's into addition. He adds. So he only takes away to add. So strength to strength. So note, this thing is so cool because this is sort of metaphorical of the Christian life, isn't it? So David's going on this journey to worship in the tabernacle, the presence of God, and here we just get this picture, this journey of the Christian life, Pilgrim's Progress, right? Have you guys read that? Anybody? If you haven't read it, please do yourself a favor and read that. John Bunyan wrote it. It's a metaphor of the Christian life, Pilgrim's Progress. So, verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah, pause, meditate. That's what that means. So let's just take a minute to think about all that. That's what he's saying. Let's take a second. Let's get this all in there. Let's just chew on the cud a little bit, so to speak. You want to take some time to do that? Intermission? Actually, we don't have time. You do that at home tonight. So Verse 9. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And so remember, he's trying to get there. He's like, oh, I'm journeying, man. I'm going through Baca. This is hard. And he's literally actually going up, and he's just saying all these things, and he can't wait to get there. He can't wait to be in God's presence. He can't wait to interact with God. And he's thinking, I would rather be, and this is my own words, I'd rather be a gum scraper in the house of God than a billionaire in the courts of the wicked. And I thought about that. You know, you think about that. Probably a lot of you are thinking about that song, right? Better is one day, Nick. Is anybody? Yeah. But, you know, you think about that. In God's presence, that's the place where we have everything. Everything that a billionaire would like to have that money can't buy. So a billionaire, they can't buy the love of God. They can't buy the joy of God. They certainly can't buy the peace of God. In his presence, we have everything. And to be fully satisfied in God, to be fully content in him, so that we would need nothing, that we would feel like there's not a drop of anything that could be added that can make things better than this right here. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I would rather be the lowest guy. And this is King David, think about it. So he can speak from authority. He's not saying, I'd rather be king of the kingdom with as many wives as I want and as much money as I want. And he's saying, I'd rather be a gum scraper in God's house, because that's where it's at. That's where the sweet spot is. That's where the goodness is. Give me that all day and you can have everything else. I hope we feel like that. I hope we feel that. Because I found that that's the place that makes everything else kind of fade away. It's interesting. It's amazing how the afflictions of the world, or the insults of the world, the sores, the pains of the world, when you're at the place at the feet of Jesus, those just seem a little different. They seem like little, you know, if you go to eat sometimes and little kid across from you shoots a little spit wad at you and just kind of just like, get out of here, kid. It's kind of, you know, just that's happened to me quite a bit. So I'm speaking from experience. But it's just not a big deal, you know? It's like, okay, but you know, you have to be really grounded in Jesus. And it's not a one-time thing either. It's not like, okay, I'm grounded now, so I don't have to. No, it's a constant, continual connection with Jesus. It's a battle, be honest with you. This is a battle we're talking about. In heaven, this is one of the things I'm looking forward to the most. It's not going to be a battle anymore. I'm not going to have to deal with my flesh trying to prevent me from doing this. I'm not going to have to deal with all these distractions. It's just going to be, it is. That's the state, the condition of heaven. No more struggle for all that. But now we have to battle for that. As we do battle for that, then we find the love of God that passes knowledge. In an experiential way, is what I'm saying. So as Christians, we have all that, but the experience of it is all found in the connection with God. The koinonia is called the fellowship with God. So he says in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. So he's like the sun, in a sense where His glory radiates throughout all the earth. And he's a shield in that he protects us from the things of the earth as well. So he's a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Do you see that? This was the thing that Paul was into, the glory. That word there in the Hebrew, it's Shabbat. It's Chabod. And it means the weight of his presence. Like there's a tangible like weightiness and feeling. So it sounds kind of mystical when you think about it. Like, what does that mean, his presence? But you all know it, whether you really process it or not, because you've talked to people, you've met people, you've interacted with people where you're like, there's something about that person. That's what we're talking about, the weight of the glory of God. It's there, as Ben Corson said, lumps of sunshine tanning people's souls. It's like this, yes, that's funny. But there's a weightiness of it. And I see it in you guys. If you could see what I'm seeing, if I had my phone, I'd do like a selfie or something. But I see it in your eyes. I see it right now. I see the weight of God's, and I know you're thinking, I hope he sees it in me. I wonder if he's seen that. I see it in all you guys. You're just like beaming Jesus at me. That's what's so cool sitting up here. It's just like, ooh, Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in us. The manifestation of that is that the whole teaching of the Sermon on the Mount about being the light of the world, let your light so shine before men that they would what? See your good work. See what you do, see who you are, see how you're radiating, and then they would give glory to God. They'd be like, what is up with them? There's something different about them. That's what we're talking about. And that's what David was noticing. That's what he was into. And he's saying that glory, the grace, and God shares that with us. Think about that. The glory of God, which in the Old Testament was very restrictive, right? Inside the innermost part of the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, high priest, once a year, Day of Atonement, would go in with something, a rope tied to him, because if he didn't do everything just right, the glory of God would just eat him up. He'd do everything just perfect. He would die. They'd pull him out by that rope because nobody could go in there. And he's saying, now we have, through Jesus Christ, we have the glory of the Shabbat, the weight, the heaviness, the weightiness of God. Does that pump you up or what? And you're saying, I don't feel like it. I just feel like old me, you know, little old, you know, me. No. You have the weight of the glory of God. Let it shine. Let it shine because it's awesome. And it attracts people to Jesus. So he says, let me read that again. And it looks like we're just going to get through this chapter tonight. But it's okay because it's a great chapter. So I thought we'd get through four chapters tonight. All right, I'm going to catch up next week. See what you get for laughing at me. All good, brother. Look at verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. So this is a promise. This is a promise. God will give that to us. And then watch this. I quote this verse all the time to myself. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You could take that to the bank, right? To the heavenly spiritual bank. You know, this is so great because basically, when he says walk uprightly, be careful not to get into the whole thing like, if I do good stuff, God will give me good stuff. If you're a Christian, your righteousness is of Christ. It's not yourself. Did you see just before that, he talked about God gives us grace? If you're here on Sunday, you know what that means. We get stuff that we don't deserve. So he just gives us stuff, his stuff, good stuff. So he's saying, God doesn't hold good things back from us. It's amazing, isn't it? You think, well, there's a lot of stuff I don't have. If you don't have it, it's not good for you. Praise God, right? There are so many things you think, man, if I had so much money, I could do all this stuff with it. If you don't have it, it's not good for you. Praise God for that. If you're struggling, that's good. Don't say this is bad. It's good. God withholds. He doesn't hold back good. Everything we have is good, and everything we don't right now is not good. So can we rest in that? Can we just be still before God and say, I have the maximum amount of good. I may not understand it. It may be hard for me to comprehend it. There are all these things I want. Be careful about that. Be careful about grabbing stuff that you don't have for yourself. Do you remember what happened to Lot when he was grabbing land? Big land grab. Abraham, his uncle, said, you choose. What did he chose for himself. Don't choose for yourself. You know, he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a sad story. Abraham let God choose. Things went a lot better for Abraham. Things went great for Abraham. Here's the moral of the story. Anchor this into the depths of your soul. What you have now is what's good for you. What you don't have is not good for you. Don't waste your time trying to grab, trying to snatch, trying to get. You know, that's really the essence of sin, is trying to take for yourself what God hasn't given to you. That's the essence of sin. That was the essence of the sin in the Garden of Eden. They had everything that they were supposed to, except the one thing that they're not supposed to. Satan tempted them that they should have that too. You know, it's possible to have too much. Too much of the knowledge of good and evil was the sin in the garden. So can we just all say that right now we have the maximum amount of good that we can have? We wouldn't change anything. That we trust the Lord and we thank him for how much goodness we have, that we can't even believe how much goodness is in our life. And we just begin to praise the Lord, because ultimately it's his presence that we're after, right? Not the presence, you know, like Christmas presents. It's his presence. Stop going after the presence with the T and start getting into the presence with the C, I think. It's his presence, not the presence. And let's just finish it off with this. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. What does that word blessed mean? Happy. So he finishes this off, and I just want to encourage you that wherever you are in this Christian journey, the presence of God is the one constant through the whole thing. And you will go through Baca. You will go through a lot of other places. It's okay, because God's presence is there too. So when we see that, we rest in his goodness, and he is what we're after, his presence. Doesn't matter what else happens on the outside. So we can all just take a deep breath and say, God is so good. Can we say that? God is so good. Amen. Let's pray. Finally, a really encouraging chapter. Sometimes the Psalms, well, Job was rough. That was really rough. Lord, we thank you so much. We give you all the praise and glory. I thank you for our body here, Lord. Just so neat to see you shining through them, and just love them so much. And I pray that they all would know how much you love them tonight, Lord. And just make your face shine upon them and show them your glory, Lord. Reflect your goodness through their lives and let them know how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand and let's worship the Lord. Thank you.
repeat after me. Another echo song. The Lord bless thee. Thank you, Lord. What a great evening that was. Awesome. We'll go home and read some more Psalms, huh? Amen. We'll see you guys Sunday morning.